All right, we're back. We are at the second episode of the Rick Ware Racing Number Tree. That is no longer episode 53 of the Land Coin Podcast. And our guest, Dave, from the Gambler's Pit Box at NASCAR Prophecy on Twitter, has joined us a long time. It's been a long time since we talked. We used to do the Sunday morning show. We used to give out a bunch of winners. You've come on our podcast before. And he asked me what we have planned for tonight. And my answer was, your guess is as good as mine, because I have no idea. So everybody, welcome Dave. It's been a while. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you? How's everything?
Dude, everything's great. We partnered with Zach, and Zach is the brains behind everything we're doing. And we're chugging along. We got Discord now. Just trying to give out winners. Nothing has changed since the last time we talked. We're still on the same path to greatness, to excellence. The last few months for me have been, not good, not great, definitely not good. But I hope the same is not for you. How's it been? It's been like probably 4 or 5 months since we talked. So
yeah, I took a step away a little bit because I started getting back to working on cars. My buddy bought a modified, a tour mod. So we've been doing a lot of traveling. So my weekends have been tough, and been helping a couple of guys locally, just trying to have some fun with it. And I overwhelm myself a little bit with this. That's my true passion, is working on the cars and gambling. But took on a little too much. So it's now, I took a step back. Now I want to get back in it a little bit and have some fun. I mean, I hit 2 parlays, 2 of the last 3 weekends. I've had a very profitable month, and I want to hammer it home for the last month and make some cash.
Let's go, baby. Well, working on cars. Roy knows that I love everything about working on cars. I know nothing about my truck, but I like to bet on guys that work on their own trucks. And it's funny because you actually work on cars. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on. You know, who you're helping out, what you're doing, what tracks you're at. Tell us a little bit about it.
We just went to Carteret Speedway down in North Carolina last weekend. Helped my buddy finish 10th out of 27 cars. He hasn't raced in a couple of years, and he asked me to come aboard and just help out and just get him going again. So that's been fun, helping a couple guys spotting down at Wall Stadium here in New Jersey. Helped the guy get his first win Saturday night spotting for him.
Let's go.
Just wherever I can fit in. I don't have, being a father and a husband, you don't really have a lot of time to fully commit myself like I really used to. And I'd really like to, but it's not in the cards.
I understand.
Trying to do this and that and, be a father and a husband it's a tricky juggling. So sometimes you got to make sacrifices. Unfortunately, my Twitter was my sacrifice for a little while, but now it's getting cold out. Racing season's coming to a close. Time to finish strong, make some money, and have some fun.
I know all about the cold, all right? I'm up here in Chicago yesterday. Buddy, it was 57 and raining, and I thought it was 40, all right? I'm wearing a jacket. I'm actually wearing a jacket and a vest, a fur vest over my jacket. I'm telling everybody at this company up here that I'm working with, like, this is winter in Florida. I just want you guys to know that. And they all just started laughing at me. And I'm like, no, like, this is what winter in Florida feels like. Like, all three of you guys, you're up in the north, northeast. Rory's in Virginia, I guess, close to the Mason-Dixon line. But I ain't got – listen, 57 degrees and raining, overcast, that is cold. That's all I got to say about that. So it does
I'm not one of those fuckers north of Richmond.
All right, what's the temperature in Virginia right now? It's cold.
It's 60s right now.
Okay. Seems like it
right now, yeah.
All right.
It'll get down into, low 50s for the morning. Then be back up in the upper 70s tomorrow.
All right. Zach, you went to the old Steel Curtain game on Monday night. How was that? How you doing? You recovered yet? That was some shitty-ass football I watched, but I know it's your favorite team, so I got to watch my mouth. How was it?
It was good. It was fun. Defense was good. Offense was terrible.
Recipe for TV ratings, am I right?
It's typical Steelers football.
By the way, the fact that – so the guy that does the funny graphs on Twitter, I don't know if you guys are – I don't even know his name, but he, does funny stuff. He doesn't do graphs. He does, like pictures and he draws lines around NFL teams and stats and stuff. Anyway, the Jags have not played on Sunday night in the last 15 years, not once. Dallas has played 46 times or something. Pittsburgh has also played in like the 40s. And I know all about shitty football. I know all about a shitty product. And I watched the Jags equally, or not equally, but bring out that shitty football against the Chiefs last weekend. So defense was great. Offense was probably the worst we've seen since Gardner Minshew left town. And he goes out in Indianapolis and lights it up. So anyway, enough football talk for the evening. Roars, how you doing, buddy? Drinking some Yingling Light? That's your new favorite beer.
Yeah, that's my new beer. America's oldest brewery.
Yeah, you know.
They all have like flags of rainbows and shit and then gone trans or anything yet. So we picked them for the good old drinking.
All right. Well, that's one way to look at it. I don't blame you. I mean, I'm particular about my beer.
That's why I said fuck Bush Light.
No, watch it. I'm still drinking my Bush Light.
Anheuser-Busch. They can kiss my ass. Okay. I'm just going over here. I actually like these. They're good.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever had a Yingling Light.
I crush them bitches.
You crush anything you put your hands on.
Yeah.
Zach says it. Well, I got my water bottle. Roy's got his Yingling Light. Zach has his Mountain Dew. Dave, we sipping on anything?
Unsweetened iced tea.
That's what I drank.
Is unsweet iced tea. You got lemon in there?
Well, I'm on a diet, guys. So
okay. All right.
Lost 30 pounds. I'm going for 100.
You know, that's what I did, is switch to unsweet iced tea and like black coffee, black espresso, whatever I drink. Nothing added to it. And I keep it off at this old age. My metabolism just quite ain't what it used to be.
Well, that's the problem I'm dealing with.
So you got to make sacrifices.
Yep.
For beer.
Listen, there's a little saying down here in the South. Of course, it's not coming to my head right now, but it's literally like, how do you like your tea? It's either sweet or, I don't know, I can't remember.
Sweeter.
Yeah, it's sweeter, but there's a funny little acronym my brain's a blender.
I didn't have sugar for like a month, so I went and asked for an unsweetened iced tea at McDonald's, and they gave me a sweet tea. I almost fell off the chair.
That's the worst place to get it from. It was like
drinking sugar.
What? Yeah. Dude, that's the best. McDonald's has incredible sweet tea.
That shit's too much.
It knocks
sweet.
You, though. I was like expecting, you know,
give you a bump.
Dude, Chick-fil-A has got the best ever, like, sweet tea.
That's pretty good.
That's the only place I'll mess around and get sweet tea.
I don't have all those options like you guys do. We don't have any other of those, like Bojangles or anything like that. I don't have any of those around me.
Canes.
Nothing. It's Chick-fil-A or that's it.
Yeah, okay. Well, spreading the love. Chick-fil-A is spreading the love, baby. The Southern love. All right. Well, let's jump into it. A little bit of NASCAR rumor mill news. Silly season's well on its way. Zane Smith going to Spire/Trackhouse. Matt D is fucking out of Rackley War Racing. They are added to the canceled list. I don't know if you guys saw that, but Rory, you were listening to the live show this week with Derek. Apparently, everybody hates Matt. Like, I know the Twitter trolls, like, they love to shit on Matt because he's like a Christian and he said, let's go Brandon, and like everybody wants to hate him now. But like, now I got guys in my corner that actually hate him. Phil asked me, where would you want Matt to land? And I said, a top tier Xfinity team. Do I think that's realistic? No, I think that it's probably going to be a mid tier Xfinity team is where he's going to land. He's not going to go to Cup. If he goes to Cup, it's going to be a shit team. But he's like, what's your ideal? I said, colleague, if he goes to one of the colleague Xfinity cars. And Phil said, okay, well, if he does go to colleague, and where does he finish in the points? And I said, sixth, and he wins a race. That's what I said. And everybody was shaking their head, fucking head down, shitting on me, shitting on Matt, shitting on the whole shebang. Matt's terrible. He's a terrible driver. It's a talent issue. Those words came out of Phil's mouth. And then I said, Phil, where is Matt? Let's say he's in a collie car. Where does he finish in the points? He says 20th. Listen, Colby fucking Howard can finish 20th. All right. Kyle Weatherman can finish 20th in the points in the JDM car. All right. Am I on an island here? Am I like, I'm like a Matt DiBenedetto island? Everybody hates him now. Zach, Dave, anybody?
I don't hate him, but I wouldn't say he's sixth, but I wouldn't say he's 20th if he was in a cup. Where I think he's going to be next year is not in any of the three series. I think
Somebody, Troy said he's going to be at the local dirt track. So
yeah, or a late, maybe he'll run one of those like late model series. But yeah, I don't. I don't understand why you like him.
Do you want to tell you the story? All right, I'll tell you the story. So
you have to have some personal attachment, or like he's from your hometown or something like that.
No, he's from fucking across the country from me. He's from California. Okay. So Casey Kane, my favorite driver for as long as I can remember. When I first started watching NASCAR, Casey Kane was my guy. All right. So he leaves Hendrick and he goes to Levine Family Racing. And then he's got these like health issues and yada yada. So now he's like quick exit from NASCAR. And I'm sitting here left. This is like, what, 2019? This is 2018 going into 2019. And I'm like, I ain't got a driver. This sucks. I'm not gambling on NASCAR at this point. Like this, I love NASCAR. I love Casey Kane. Like I got to have a new favorite driver. And the 2019 Daytona 500, Matt DiBenedetto gets in the 95 car, Levine Family Racing. And he leads like 90 laps, or maybe it wasn't 90, but it was a lot of laps. And fucking Chase Elliott wrecks him with like, I don't know, 10 to go, 12 to go. And he's in the lead. And ever since that day, I knew he was an underdog story. I knew he was driving shit boxes for like the last 5 years. And I'm like, that's my guy, dude. He's driving for a mid-tier team, you know, mid-pack team. He's seceding. Casey Kane, who was my favorite driver. And so I got this attachment to him. And then he goes to Wood Brothers and I'm like, fuck, this is going to be awesome. Like he might win a couple races, maybe one race at least. No, he has like three top fives and he kind of shits the bed. You know, he missed a couple blocks at Talladega in numerous races. And I've just followed him, and now he's in trucks, and now he's jobless. He's unemployed. So I guess I'm a fan of somebody that collects unemployment. So now I'm,
you know, Wood Brothers seems like a death sentence anymore. You know, it seems like anybody now that goes there is just so the end of like, career.
What about Blaney? Like that propelled his career.
Blaney was going to Penske eventually. That was just like had to get him in a car.
Well, how many Harrison races did Blaney win at Wood Brothers?
Well, he won at Pocono. Yeah, I think just one.
But I also think he was getting a lot of, you know, alliance with Penske at the time. I think Penske just, once they got him full-time, they cut them off.
Yeah, because they were only a two-car two-car operation at the time. So they were using Wood Brothers because they wanted him up, and they made a deal with him and said, we'll give you like our cars or help build them, our tech, something on our tech end, something, you know, whatever.
Well, they knew they had to, you know, Ford knew they had to put Blaney somewhere, otherwise they're going to lose him.
Yeah.
Just kinda like Zane Smith.
Blaine Smith, you know, Zane bingo. Smith. Guys, that's a huge mistake on their part. It's probably one of their best young drivers, and they let him go to Chevy, which is criminal. Stupid.
Where are you going to put him? I mean, you got to put him in the 10 with Almirola. That means he's coming back, right? If you don't put him in the 10, who's going in the 10?
I hear the 10 charters for sale.
See, I saw that, Dave, and I don't know that I believe it. The reason I don't know if I believe it is the Couch Racer tweet about you. I saw them reply to somebody and said, you're fucking crazy if you think SHR is selling any charters. I was under the firm belief that they were selling two charters, not just one. They were going to sell two.
Well, originally now, that's what they were doing. They were shopping it. But for $40 million, I mean, that's got to spark your interest at this point. Do you think it's going to get any higher than $40 million? I highly doubt it. I think it's peaked. I really do, you know?
I think you'll see movement after next season, not this season.
TV deal.
People wanting out. I think Stuart Haas, I'm pretty sure, has like a Ford contract where they have to run four cars and it runs through next year. I think after that, you'll see a lot of movement.
Damn, so 2025 is going to be a damn shakeup, huh?
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I think things are fluid in NASCAR right now, and I think that, Dave, I think you both could be right. I think that they could somehow wiggle their way out of that contract, and if Michael Jordan or whoever who has deep pockets comes and says, hey, here's $45 million cash via whatever, they could probably figure their way out of that contract. But, yeah, I mean, I just
don't know who they would put in that 10 car. Letting Zane Smith go and not putting him in that car, somebody from the Ford pipeline from the beginning is just stupid. Like, who are you going to put in there? Haley Deegan?
How do you put Barry in the four and not Zane? I mean, pipeline.
They're going to put Custard in the 10.
Oh, Jesus. Not again, dude.
Well, his dad is, you know.
So we're just going to have to live with Custer and Austin Cindric for the next decade?
And Harrison Burton, I guess, too, right? I mean, if you think about it, Ford picked those three guys. Whoever ends up driving the 10, Harrison Burton and Austin Cindric were all, like, Zane Smith should have their car. He's better than them.
Facts. Well, at this rate, I don't know why anybody would want to go Stuart Haas. I mean,
also yeah. Agree.
Like, seriously, I'd rather go to front row.
See, that's what I thought was going to happen until, you know, they signed Gilliland back, right?
Yeah, but I think he had some money, last minute money come in, because I don't think they were planning on re-signing him.
So that's where I thought he was headed. Was to the 38 because he was subbing in for it and
yeah that was the
whatever
original.
And that backfired.
Nah. So what? Yeah, Dave, I think you're right, because what happened? So Rodney Childers, Kevin Harvick, they're going to be out, right? And the four team is on their own island of SHR cars, right? You wonder if that information gets somehow relayed to the rest of the team for next year. Or if they're just going to be an exaggeration of the other three cars for next year.
Well, Rodney's staying with Barry, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah,
he is.
Oh. Yeah, he's going to continue.
Shit.
Not, you know, but I don't know what that holds for everybody else.
Yeah. How many?
They're just underperforming. I mean, Briscoe, like that. Who would have saw that coming, you know? I was actually just looking at the odds. He's like 200-1 for this race.
That's crazy.
Where last year he was like 15-1 opening. You know, it's just they need some serious soul searching because they fell really hard, really fast.
They did as an organization, because even Cindric in the Xfinity series won a lot of races, was 2 feet away from winning a championship.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, Briscoe didn't win a championship, I don't think, but. Won a lot of races in the Xfinity series. And, you know, I had high expectations for Custer going back to the Xfinity series, and he's so-so. I had some really good runs, you know, won a couple road courses, and that's about it, right?
You know, when Front Row left the alliance with Stuart Haas after last year and went to RFK, I was like, that's such a mistake. Like, what are you doing? It turned out to be a brilliant idea. Somebody saw something, and RFK is now the best Ford team within 1 year. I mean, Brad K really turned it around there, and I wouldn't be shocked if either one of them guys made the Final Four or even contended to win this championship. I mean, Busher could legitimately win this championship.
Dude, that's fucking crazy, but it's not that crazy. Like,
no,
the way he's been running recently.
I think Busher is one of the top three teams between Byron and Truex right now.
The last, eight races?
Yeah,
I don't have an argument.
Me this time last year, I'd be like, you're out of your mind. There's no way he makes the Final Four or even wins three races. I mean, it's the best comeback story in the history of NASCAR, probably, because everybody wrote RFK as being dead, you know, and they never thought that they'd come back as quick as they did. I mean, the new car definitely helped. It was more of a level playing field. So everybody was learning at the same time. They just put the right people in place and crushed it.
So I agree with everything you're saying. I think that there's a legitimate chance. It's crazy to say, but I think there's a legitimate chance that one of the RFK cars makes the championship four, especially with where they're at in the points. Like, they were at the end of the regular season, they were both fourth and fifth, which is nuts. Like, crazy. Or maybe it was fifth and sixth, but regardless, That's ridiculous. However, this weekend at Texas, I am on the Buescher fade train, buddy. And we'll get into it a little bit. But I do not love any of the numbers on Chris Buescher. So I'm going to be looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. So I'm glad we got some silly season talk in there. That's good stuff. We'll see what happens with SHR. We'll see what happens with 10. Yeah, Ford, major blunder. Before we get the text, Ford major blunder with Zane Smith. Sorry, I should have finished that before my mind started going in a different direction. Let's talk about Road America for a second. I'm pretty sure this is a rumor, but there's a difference between a confirmed rumor and a rumor. This is a confirmed rumor. Road America will not be on a single NASCAR schedule next year, which is a complete blunder. All right. We take away Chicagoland. We take away Kentucky for legitimate reasons. No one shows up, right? No one shows up to Texas. We continually go back. Okay, fine. We took one date from Texas. We'll give him an all-star race. That shit didn't work out. Now we have a Texas race in the playoffs that no one's going to be at. And we have 150,000 people that stroll through the gates at Road America throughout the whole week. And we're going to take a race away from them. One of the best Xfinity Series road course races that we've seen in a long time. That finish with Allgaier, Mayer, Karam, all those guys up there. That finish, which was in July. And we're just going to take a date away. I mean, are you fucking kidding? We just repaved the track and no one's going to Road America. Make it make sense, because I don't get it.
Yeah, that's dumb. It was a good track, and I don't know why they just repaved, and I think that news came from they sent a letter to their shareholders saying that they weren't going to be on the NASCAR schedule this year, and that's just terrible. I don't know what they're replacing it with or what, but it'll be interesting to see. Seems like the schedule for next year was like they thought they had it set, and now it's falling apart. So who knows what they're going
to
do?
We're getting awfully close to October to not have a schedule for next year. That's for sure. Roars, you got to have an opinion either way. What are you doing? Scrolling TikTok, watching yourself, all the new videos you're posting?
No, not right now. I was just looking at a few things, like scrolling.
That could mean fucking anything.
Finishes. I was listening to y'all mainly, but
is it NASCAR related at least?
Yeah, I was just looking at Chris Buescher's like last whatever races, and I don't know. I could see him somehow at the end of this race having track position or whatever and staying up there.
I mean, yeah, I did. Could we see it? Would I be shocked? Absolutely not. I'm not gonna be shocked. But if you look at what he's done, his best finish on a mile and a half, including Texas last year, is, oh, that's NLD speed. Pretty sure it's eighth at Charlotte. Yeah, Chris Buescher finished eighth at Charlotte. That's his best mile and a half finish in the last 2 years. So
who are you fading him against?
Christopher Bell, the guy that I'm donating money every week. There's also a Kyle Busch matchup out there.
I prefer the Bell one.
I do too.
Yeah, Bell.
And that's what I've laid money on. Bet365.
Now, what about Chris Buescher at Michigan? I know it's not a mile and a half, but you can't ignore how fast he was at Michigan. I mean, Truex definitely had a faster car, but
that, I mean, yeah, he definitely had top three, top five speed. No, no doubt. That's fair. If we look at NLD speed, which Dave, that is Zach's spin on NASCAR's loop data. NLD stands for non-loop data. He's had a 27th at Texas, which he wrecked last year, 11th at Charlotte, where he finished 8th, 20th at Nashville, 24th at Vegas, 19th at Kansas 1, and 15th at Kansas 2. That's more or less what I'm looking at. If we want to look at Bell, 22nd last year at Texas, he wrecked. 6th at Charlotte, 6th at Nashville, 7th at Vegas, 14th at Kansas 1, and 6th at Kansas 2. It's not even close. Dave, go ahead, Zach.
What's the number you got Bell at?
Minus 115, baby.
Both oh, teams. That's nice.
Yeah, I think Bush is like minus 112, I think someone. So let's talk comp tracks for a little bit. Not long, just a little bit. I'm going to give my spiel, and then I'm going to go to Dave, and then we'll round it out with Zach and Rory. So from the beginning of the week, I have wanted to look at all mile and a halves. And I thought about including Michigan and Auto Club like just a smidge, but I'm out. Maybe at Kansas, I think we used Michigan a little bit, you know, mini Michigan. But I'm out on the 2 milers. I think that would just that would be scatterbrained. So I asked Zach to put together a model equal weight percentage of Texas last year, Charlotte, both Kansas races, Vegas, and Nashville. And I think I feel more comfortable going with the mile and a half program as a whole. I understand Nashville is like a mile and a third, which Zach will have to touch on. He's the one that got me into the whole Nashville deal. Just a smidge, not a ton, just a smidge. But it's like the icing on the cake. It's the cherry on top. So I'm looking at, you know, we've got, if you just look at Texas and Charlotte, you've got a shitty ass tire ridden Texas race last year. You have obviously 600 miles at Charlotte. And then it's kind of like, if you don't perform, if you have bad luck or if you wreck or you have a tire issue at Texas, that I feel like that data, it's just not enough data to make bets on. But I do feel more comfortable with including all the mile and a half. So, Dave, what are you looking at going into this week?
Well, first and foremost, I'm looking at Ty Gibbs at 28-1. You know, you can't ignore how strong they've been and how much better he's getting week in and week out. I mean, I do like the 28-1 outright, but I also like the top five at plus 350. He's due, and I think it's only a matter of time before he wins a race. And I think he's going to upset one of these races and steal a win away from one of these playoff drivers. I think it's inevitable. I think Joe Gibbs is pumping everything he's got at him, and he's not going to get the lesser car because he's not in the playoffs. I think they know how important that win is going into next season for his confidence. And I think this is a track that he could win at, and I think he's going to have the car to do it. And I love 28-1. I mean, I'm definitely going to be on that. But somebody that, you know, won Charlotte, won this race last year for the All-Star race, didn't show much speed at Kansas, but was in top 10 most of the day. Ryan Blaney at 12-1. Penske is going to have everything they got on that car now that Joey's out, and he's going to get everything they have. And I think he's going to offload fast if he can qualify in the top three. I could see him running away with this race and sweeping the stages and dominating. It's very important for Penske for him to win early and advance the next round. They don't want to play points. They know that this is the race that they can win. They know this is one of his best tracks on paper. And I think they had this track circled for the playoffs. And this is where Ryan Blaney advances to the next round.
I appreciate you throwing out some plays, Dave. I'm all about throwing plays. And I don't mind Ty Gibbs. I don't mind Toyota this week, especially at a 28, maybe even a 30, if you can find it on Ty Gibbs. But I was actually going for some comp track. What do you, you know, are you looking at any other tracks? It's okay, dude. Sorry. It's okay. I saw you running a mile a minute over there. Making
I was reading something. Charlotte and Kansas, and, you know, Texas last year. I think Kansas is going to mean a lot because a lot of people are showing their hands now what they really have. So, you know, a lot of people save stuff for the playoffs, and they, you know, they might hit something early in the year and they don't want to use it every week, like Ty Majeski's crew chief did that screwed up. And now he's basically going to be eliminated where he should have won at Bristol because he had the bleeder valves, but no, they got greedy and they wanted to win a race that meant absolutely nothing. So I think this is another situation like that where guys are holding stuff off. So last week is going to translate a lot to this week.
So how do those bleeder valves work? I know you know this.
The tires level off, so you basically don't grow air pressure. So your stagger doesn't change. So on long runs, you basically have the same setup the whole time. The tires don't wear as bad, and it, you know, it's just flat contract.
So, I mean, yeah. What
that would make a lot of fucking sense at Richmond when he's lapping the fucking field, you know, on 80-year-old tires.
And then to bring it back the next week is completely stupid.
So how much are we talking this thing's leaking out, like, at a rate?
They maintain. It basically maintains the pressure. So if you start off with 12 pounds on the left rear, it's going to maintain 12 pounds through the run instead of growing to, like, 18 or 19.
Huh. My question is, why do you not just put them on the second set? Why do you have to roll through tech?
Because you're dumb.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I mean,
that crew, his crew, like the Richmond pit stop, and then, hey, let's roll through tech pre-race with some bleeders on. Like,
I think that penalty is what killed them. That penalty when he, what was it, Richmond?
Absolutely.
Where he, and he's a 10th faster, in, or no, I'm sorry, a second faster in the field running through that field. Like, at some point as a crew chief, you got to be like, yo, we're not going to win this race. Calm down. Like,
it's just an absolute blasphemy that he didn't just pit at Richmond with the rest of the field. He would have won the race by 15 seconds, but he decided to leave him out. And even with the bleeders, it was the next week. Was it IRP or?
Well, no, whatever, the next week they won Milwaukee, dominated that race. And then they bring it back the following race where it means absolutely nothing and everybody's looking at you.
Fucking yeah. Stupid, Zach. It's stupid. Fucking stupid.
You bring it to Bristol and you win that race too. You give yourself a week to so everybody to hush up a little bit, and then you bring it back at Bristol. And now you're in the final four.
And now he's fucking out. What is he, 28 points out or some?
Yeah, now he has to win, and he doesn't have that in his pocket. Like, it was suicide.
Ridiculous.
Mark needs that win.
Dude, I got a two win $1,500 on Ty Majeski over 1.5. And the fact that he doesn't fucking have two wins already is ridiculous. And he's not going to get it. Right, the deal is done. It's over with. He ain't fucking winning. I mean, we're going to Dega, maybe.
I wouldn't say that. He could still win a race because he's still fast.
He can't. Yeah.
He just lost his advantage. He should have won Bristol. Bristol was the race that he dominated last year because they probably did the same thing at Bristol last year. He dominated that race, and then they didn't use it again. No, whatever.
Cash 7-1, by the way, at Bristol.
He can win Phoenix.
He's got to make it there first.
Well, no, he'll be there no matter what. It doesn't matter if he's in the playoffs or not for you.
Yeah. It's just painful.
He is going to be tough at Phoenix.
Yeah.
Talladega's crap.
But what if they've been doing this all year? I mean, I doubt they have because early in the year he was, you know, top five, top three.
No, they were saving that in the playoffs.
He just couldn't finish races. But that's what... Okay, I think I believe you. I think I'm on the same page.
You don't just pick up a second on the field like that, you know?
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, he was doing other things too, and it just, you know.
Whatever. Well, it's a good thing we don't have to watch the abysmal. See, I love Truck Night in America, but just bummed about Ty Majeski. He works on his own truck, though. Rory, ain't that right? God, I was getting fucking roasted in the Discord today, dude.
It's me roasted. Always. I'll never let you live that down. Me or
yeah, you both of you fucker. Rye's never allowed on Landcoin ever again. He's banned, canceled, done.
Bullshit.
Yeah, that's right. That's bullshit.
I'll be like, hey, Rye's coming on.
No, not happening. I'll do it by myself. Shit. All right, Zach. I know we've talked about comp tracks a lot this week. So talk me through your process from early in the week. And by the way, we haven't talked about this, what I'm about to say, but I do not want to talk you out of what you're thinking going into this week. So just
walk through
the process.
I'm going to tell you one thing before he gets going. These two right here have basically forced me to take Blaney.
Oh,
and I'll let him go on with where he's going because I know Blaney's going to be involved in this conversation.
So earlier in the week, I started using Texas, Charlotte, and Nashville. The reason I put some Nashville in there is because Texas turn one and two, it's not like a wide open corner like at Charlotte. And then I looked around some more, and actually I was playing on iRacing. And I was, you know, doing some laps at Texas, and I'm like, it feels a lot like a lap at Kansas. So then I fired up Kansas, did the same thing, and I'm like, yeah, there's some definite correlation here. So I didn't weigh them all the same like you did. I have Texas weighed the most, Charlotte behind that, Kansas 2 next, because I think that's going to show more kind of like Dave mentioned, playoffs. It's been the most recent race. On the mile and a half, and then earlier Kansas, then a little Vegas, and a little Nashville is where I'm at right now. And
which,
so with that,
go ahead.
what that led me to is I also got a Blaney ticket at 16-1. And then I also like Reddick at 8-1 under, and they both come in high in the model. I just think they're both going to be up there fighting for the win. They're two of the newer players in the championship, you know, younger, not really super young, but younger guys, new blood up there. I just think besides, you know, the Denny and Kyle Larson and Byron, these guys should be right up there with them and Truex. Those should be the top six.
So, Dave, you talked about – I want to talk about Blaney. You talked about Blaney a little bit earlier. Zach's on Blaney. Rory's talking about being on Blaney. Is the only reason – okay, let me rephrase this. If the only reason that you guys are on Blaney is because of his Charlotte performance, I'm out. If there's more to the story, I'm in.
He's good at Texas. He won the All-Star race there last year.
That's right.
He finished top five.
And he
dominated a race at Texas at some – I'm trying to think. Might have been his first year at Penske.
And you really can't underestimate the fact that Roger Penske has nobody else left in the playoffs. And they're going to put everything they got in that one car. You know, it's not like Hendrick where you got multiple cars or you know, Gibbs who's got multiple cars. I mean, Penske's got everything they've invested in him now. And, you know, they're going to put the best pit crew there. They're going to do, you know, and engineers are going to be solely focused on that car. Joey Logano is going to be there to help him. Like he helped him last year. I don't know in what facet, but, you know, the focus now is going to be to get Blaney that championship. And they know that this is the race that he needs to advance. He's, you know, he's 6 points out. So he has to come out fast. And this is a race that he has to win. And if he wins now, he's, you know, in the driver's seat a little bit. And I think that everybody's going to be all in Penske on him.
Last two Texas races, last year's Texas and the All-Star race, Ryan Blaney has the best average run position. So, okay. All right. I do like 16. I don't know if that's floating around out there anymore. I know there's a 12. I know there's probably a 14 somewhere floating around. I doubt 16. I'd be down for 16. Are you guys still down for 12?
Yes.
Zach, still down for 12?
I haven't down to 12 yet.
Okay. Roars, have you pulled the trigger? You're scrolling over there. Have you pulled the trigger yet?
I'm looking. See.
Let me see what the old local.
Who had
got.
The 12?
I think that's pretty widely available.
Yeah, I think DraftKings has 12 right now.
Okay.
I like Reddick more than Blaney, but, you know, the number on Blaney was nicer at open.
Sure. Sure. And I completely forgot that Blaney won the All-Star race. And also, when I was skimming through to figure out what happened to Bubba Wallace last year at Texas, Blaney was in the top five like every time I was skipping through. So,
yeah.
Does the heat bother you guys? Like, Charlotte was a cool night race, you know, or it went into night. It's going to be hot as balls at Texas. And they were talking about it on the preview show earlier that, you know, the Toyotas really thrive.
Go back and rewatch the race from last year and look at how fast Ryan Blaney was here.
Oh yeah, I know.
He dominated that race.
I just watched it like yesterday.
Okay.
This will be the first time this year that I'm on Ryan Blaney. I have not had a Ryan Blaney ticket all year.
I haven't either.
Zach fucking did. Zach had a 25-1, dude, at fucking Charlotte out of nowhere.
And a 28.
God, see, I always forget about the 28. God, it's crazy, dude.
They didn't change it enough.
That's crazy. And it was like the first like 10 or 15 laps you jumped on him.
Yeah, because he went from like seventh to like second in like seven laps. I was like, well, these numbers are dumb.
The one thing with the 12-1 is I think if he goes out and, you know, lays a dud in qualifying, say he's like 15th fastest, he'll probably dip to 20-1. But if he goes out and he times in the top three, which basically what it's going to take to win this race, I mean, you're not going to win this race starting out of the top five, most likely. He's probably going to go to 7 or 8-1. So is it worth taking the risk to pick up 8 on the backward swing and where he's not going to win? Or if you try to hold out and wait and then you're going to lose plus 4, and you're basically getting the same odds. I mean, the same chance of him winning. So I don't think there's no upside to waiting. I think now it's now or never, pretty much.
I think you're right. I think I saw the last nine. Yeah, it was 9-9. The last nine winners have started inside the top nine. So if he's a 15th place car in practice, qualifies 12th, and his number is 18, 20, there's just no point in betting it, right? But if it's on the flip side and it's, you know, we go from 12 to 8, which he does have a legitimate chance to win, he qualifies second. I also saw today on Twitter, one thing, Roy, that Ryan Blaney has the last 200 mile an hour pole run in NASCAR 2018 was at Texas. So
yeah, I was getting ready to
that'll
say,
never be broken.
I was looking at betting him and Gibbs pole.
What's Gibbs pole? So, because Dave's 20, on both of them.
20. And Blaney's 9. I'm just looking at 365. It could be more at Caesars, could be less. I don't know.
And just the touch, I know Dave said it a bunch, but like a very, very important race. Like, so you win this race, okay? You're taking that car, you're putting it in the corner, and you're just going to tweak it every little bit every day for Vegas. And then you win Vegas.
There's your ticket. Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely a springboard race for them.
Yeah. Where Joey won last year, Vegas.
It's a big race. Every team should be bringing with the best, you know?
And, so you know, and Blaney is obviously fired up pushing around Bob Papagrass, so he's ready to go.
Papagrass. Roy calls him Pockrass.
Yeah. Pockrass.
Was he actually fired up about that? I mean, was he like, get out of my fucking way, Dave?
Oh, dude, he was hot. I think as soon as he realized who it was, he felt really bad. Like, he's like, oh, no, this is not going to be good. That instinct, he just shoved him hard, too.
Listen, whoever's in his PR corner was a great tweet by Blaney saying, yeah, Bob and I talked it out after the race, all good, you know, typical driver, right?
Well, it was crazy because I'm sitting there listening to Kevin Harvick basically bash Stuart Haas Racing, and it was very entertaining listening to what he had to say. And then seeing that in the corner of my eye, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? You know, it's like this place is falling apart.
It's entertainment right there, boy.
Oh, yeah, that was probably the most entertaining interview of the year. You love that raw passion, you know? You know, like Kevin Harvick knowing that his last season was a waste and, you know, that he basically said it, you know, and it's nice to hear it. You know, everybody sees it. You get sick of hearing the, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I like to hear, we suck. We did everything wrong.
I don't know if Kevin Harvick would be ready to retire if he was still in a fast-ass race car.
Dude, he's been fast, though.
I mean, I know he's getting on up there. He is 47. It's getting, you know, close, but he ain't in the same shit he was in before this damn shit.
Yes, correct. Yes, I'm not. When I said he was fast, he wasn't 2020 fast. I mean, no one's going to be 2020 fast.
Right. Oh, he was fast one race, and they handed it away.
Nashville? No, he did hand away Nashville. What?
He was fast as shit at Nashville till they cut a tire. He was coming. He was going down. That car was fast. Because I got it 33-1 live, and I was just like, you're shitting me right now.
He should have won Phoenix at the beginning of the year, too, in that late caution.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then he gave it for four tires. If he takes two tires there, he probably still wins that race. But
and, I guess it was Bristol last year where the wheel came off, and he was coming to take the lead on that last caution, and then Buescher was the leader. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into some shit boxes. I got to be honest with you guys. I haven't looked at Xfinity worth a dick, so I don't know if you guys have. If you guys want to talk Xfinity, I know the models drop, Zach. Roars, you're probably scrolling ready to fire, but I haven't
John looked at check.
Next. Yeah, that's it, period?
He's in another league right now.
Yeah,
he really is.
A mile and a half, he seems unbeatable. You know, it's
Allgaier's been good, though. The model loves Allgaier this week.
Zach's no, he has been good. Absolutely. But
do you have an opinion, Zach?
For Xfinity, I've kind of just been waiting for live anymore. you can usually find something pretty good. I'm kind of the only thing Chandler Smith, like, what the heck happened to him? He was like so good at the beginning of the year and then just fell off.
You know, it's crazy, but I was thinking about that the other day and I'm like, what's the difference now? You know, having Kyle Busch drive those cars, I think was helping him. I think they, you know, communication, you know, setup wise, you know, that first race when Kyle Busch went there, he said, you know, he didn't agree with the setups. The next week they came back, they were all fast.
Yep.
And then Kyle Busch hasn't been in the cars in what, 3 months now? And it's showing.
I remember Chandler Smith having an absolute rocket at Auto Club. Was it second race of the year? And I'm like, damn, Chandler, he's good. That motherfucker's going to be, that 16 car is going to be something to watch out for. And then what you guys are saying, just nothing.
I think colleagues spread too thin too. I think they're trying to do too much with what they have. And yeah, I think
you might be onto something there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they have going on in the building, but you know, they grew way too fast and that's a big toll on everybody in that building. And, you know, I think AJ Allmendinger not winning a road race this year really hurt them. I thought they would definitely get in the playoffs with, you know, with all the road courses on the schedule. You think, you know, it's a lock that AJ is going to win one of them races. And, you know, that was a huge letdown for them.
I agree with that. You would have thought that AJ was going to win a road course race. And I was on him probably five of the six that we've had so far and donating money. So, yeah, he's been good. He's been, you know, top five a few times. Top three speed, maybe. You know, Sonoma was a pretty good race. That's about it.
Just not good enough, though. Nope. Not for what you expect from him.
Correct.
You know, he's the stereotypical ringer, you know, like for a long time, you know, but now he just seems to be struggling. I don't think it's him. Just don't think the cars are where they need to be.
Fair. Well, if Matt goes, you know, he's finishing sixth and he's going to win a race next year in Xfinity. So.
Well, they say he's going back full-time Xfinity race next year. So.
Who? AJ?
AJ, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which I think is the right move.
Absolutely.
I think he can wheel that car. I mean, that's a driver's car, especially on a road course. Yeah. And he went out, what, he won Nashville in the Xfinity car this year?
Yeah.
Was dog shit. I had a four-digit wager on him at Road America, and my brakes are out. I don't have any brakes. Oh, everyone's bitching about the brakes, AJ. All right? Fucking give me a break. I expected more out of him, but okay. Roars, I know you got an Xfinity play for me, at least one.
Hell yeah.
Give the people something.
We're going with a little Josh Berry top five plus 140.
Okay.
I think Berry's going to have a fucking rocket ship this week.
He's 10-1 outright on Bet Rivers.
I mean, they had a shitty run last week, you know, at kind of surprisingly at Bristol and the wreck. I don't know. I just
he wasn't
like,
doing shit before that though. And I was on him.
I feel like he'll probably have some kind of Brandon Jones car for this race. Cause Jones ain't in the damn playoffs and that car was fast as shit at Kansas.
Good point. Good point.
I'm interested to see what Riggs can do.
Yeah.
Colin, 11?
Yeah, he's car. In the 10 11 or the car. 11, whatever yeah. they're 11. Doing. Just, I mean, he's a good short track racer. I just want to see what he can do. I don't want, you know, in a big, you know, mile and a half. Not to bat or anything. I'm just interested to see how he does. Kind of a fan of him. He's kind of working his way up through the ranks. I'd like to see him succeed.
Cashed a top fiver on him in the truck series 4-1 at I believe IRP or Milwaukee, one of the two. Shout out Discord.
He's the real deal. I mean, he's a good racer at 35-1. I mean, that's a pretty good odds. I mean, I think it should be a little lower for him. Honestly, I would thought he would open like 50-1.
Yeah,
but you know, he's got better odds than Riley Herbst in his first race.
I love it, Dave.
I can't not do it. Sorry.
Throw it in there, dude.
Dave Phillips, Riley Herbst.
Dude, I fucking love him and hate him at the same time.
He's hit some damn long ones on him, top threes and stuff. The wasted money on outright, though. We're just pissing in the wind.
So you can get Lane Riggs at 40-1 on Bet Rivers, but Riley Herbst, dude just can't get out of his own way, man. It's like one thing after another, after another, after a fucking another. And then he shows up with 15th place speed in the Xfinity Series, which he has no business being outside the top 10.
He's going back to Gibbs next year, so.
Whoa, the 20?
I think he's going to be in the 20 or the 19.
Whoa.
Yeah, I heard that same thing.
He wants back. I think he's having buyer's remorse.
And he seemed pretty disgruntled with his team the last couple weeks, if you pay attention in interviews.
Yeah.
So it seems like he will not be there next year.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, though, Monster.
Yeah, Monster. It makes sense to be all Joe Gibbs, you know?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
And I think Sammy Smith's going back to Junior Motorsports. I think he'll end up in the 9 car.
Yep.
Don't hate it. That's the pilot opinion. Flying J, baby.
And you know, I think Sammy Smith could win this Xfinity race this weekend, too. I mean, you know, he's going to offload. He was really fast at Kansas, and, you know, if he doesn't get in that wreck, he might have gave John Hunter a run for his money. He was running basically same lap times. So, you know, at 12-1, now we got a nice 12-1 double dip parlay. I'm going to lock that one in. A little Blaney and Smith.
I was looking at Smith's pretty juicy. Top five.
12-1.
I'm going to take that, too. I'll give two of them. Sammy Smith, top five. Plus 200. Okay. I can get down with a little bit of that.
I was high. I already cashed my over half a win on Sammy Smith, waiting for that ticket to go through so I can lick my wounds from Majeski and cash out something at the end of the year. Also, Kyle Busch over 1.5.
Yeah, he's growing.
But I was really high on him at the beginning of the year, and it's kind of funny that he won his race earlier in the year, and then the summer was just nowhere to be found.
But think about it. They were focusing on Gibbs at road courses and different places, probably some. He's had some growing pains. I mean, I think he's fast. Like Dave said, can he finish the damn thing, not have nothing happen, you know, his part, anybody else's part. But he has fast race cars.
Well, you know, they want him to advance the next round, too. You know, they want to get him in there.
Yeah.
And Trevor Bayne's going to be in this race, too. He could be an upset, too. I mean, this is going to be a junior. Joe Gibbs Racing is on a different level right now, and it's undeniable. In the Xfinity
Series. I would agree. I would agree. And they're putting him up, picking him up and putting him down in the Cup Series, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, what Denny Hamlin has done the last 4 weeks is remarkable. That dude is fat. He's fucking fast, Rory.
He made you money last week.
Yeah, a lot of it, dude. 16-1 live?
12-1, too.
Yeah.
12-1, 16-1.
Rory says, fuck him.
And I took him pre because the old lady said on Tuesday he was winning.
And can we talk about what she's on this week? Yeah. No one's talking about him because his odds are dick.
Larson and Truex.
Oh, I didn't hear the Truex part. I heard the Larson part.
Yeah, she said Larson and Truex. I had to throw her second one in there. She's like, I can't really decide. I was like, Truex
women.
Odds this week, you know.
What can you get an 8-1 on Truex? I haven't looked at Truex worth a shit. 9? Okay. I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed. I am not opposed to Yeah, 9-1 Bet Rivers. Hello.
I would love to see him race at Kansas a little bit. You know, that sucks that he was out so early. You didn't get to see what he really had. I mean,
yep.
I'm my biggest concern in this weekend is tire failures. Like, are we going to have to deal with that again? I mean, I know guys are getting more aggressive now because the playoffs and, you know, they want to get every little bit. But are we going to have all these right rear failures like we did at Kansas? I mean,
I think you're just not going to have any tire wear and it's going to be they're running that left side tire on the right.
I was going to ask, is it a totally new tire?
I don't know what.
Yeah, it's a different combination, I believe.
First time ever?
Yeah, I think that was a knee jerk reaction to the failures of Kansas. I think they did not want to deal with that.
Well, and last year at Texas for that matter.
Yeah. But I mean, it's fresh that Kansas, you know, all those failures.
Oh, yeah.
you know, have two back-to-back playoff races at a mile and a half where you got all these tire failures. I mean,
and where you had a playoffs show last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So they
got to be scared. They have to have done. I mean, gotten super conservative on this tire.
I do like Larson in the fucking no tire wear or Byron.
I like Larson, but I hate the 5-1.
Yeah, nobody's talking about Byron. And that's where I'm going with my shit box for Cup.
Yeah, let's roll into that.
Are we done with Xfinity?
Yep, let's roll into it. Let's roll into it. Brorsch, go ahead. You like Willie B?
I got to get a little Willie B at +120. He had a damn good car here last year.
For a top fiver?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there better?
No. I was expecting you to say 9-1 outright, but
no, we're just giving out the small plays.
+120.
Yeah. Top five. I just feel like Byron's qualified really well. He's got the best damn pit crew in the garage. He doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes, and that car is going to be up front. And if this turns into a shit show, give me them. You know, if they beat everybody off pit road, or give me him on a restart, he's good.
All right, here you go. William Byron, NLD speed rankings for you. If you weigh Kansas 2 more, he had an 11th place total speed rank or NLD speed ranking at Kansas 2. But if you go back to the beginning of the year and according to Zach, non-loop data speed ranking, numero uno at Texas last year. Second at Charlotte, fourth at Nashville, first at Vegas 1, 13th at Kansas, and 11th at Kansas 2. So the only thing we haven't seen, it's like the Ross Chastain, it's Ross Chastain, but not as exaggerated. Like William Byron still had speed later in the second half of this year. Ross Chastain has dick, nothing. But William Byron just doesn't scratch the itch for me. Like, my shitbox is Reddick, which I'll talk about in a second, but am I recency biased on Reddick and not so much on Byron? I don't think Byron's a terrible play. But here's where my mind goes. Like I think about those two guys, and then I'm like, well, fuck, what about Hamlin? He's been lights out. What about Truex? What about Larson? I mean, none of those guys go out and dominate this race. It's going to surprise any of us. That's why it's just so difficult at this point in the week to nail down a winner. And I think that's where you got to take the Dave approach, the Zach approach. You got to take Blaney at 12, 14, 16, you know, Gibbs if you want it. You get a look at these guys that are not at the top of the board and then take the Rory approach and go live bet it. So,
yeah, track position is going to be huge. So, I mean, if you want to bet before qualifying, you're just going on a gut or, you know, looking at the charts and seeing where people raced prior. But if you want to make an educated bet, you know, see who's in the top five, because most likely one of them guys is going to be your winner.
Yeah, I'm banking on Byron's going to qualify pretty damn good.
He has all year, so
that's why he's won so many races. You know, it's no fair secret.
Rudy Fugel's a good ass fucking crew chief too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they might have the two best crew chiefs in the garage at the moment, besides Gabe Hart.
Rodney?
I mean, I think Rodney does an excellent job with whatever they got going on over there to get what he can out of the car. But I don't know if he has all the tools available that Chevrolet and Hendrick has.
Well, I think complacency is a real thing. You know, like Rudy Fugel, you know, he's new to the series and he's got that fire. I mean, Rudy Fugel is probably going home and only thinking about his race cars and how's he going to go faster and what can he do? You know, not to knock Rodney Childress. He's been doing it for how many years? You know, you lose that fire, you know, you become a family man. You know, you don't have that drive. And I've seen it happen where it's just a job. And I hate to say it, but I think for Rodney Childress, it's just a job now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still think he has passion for the sport, and I think he loves his job. But, you know, you might not be as focused as a single, you know, a single crew chief that's always thinking about is winning races. And it makes a huge difference. And it goes for drivers, too. You know, you become complacent. You know, you're out there just collecting a check. Unless you're Kyle Larson, who just isn't happy unless he wins.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Or Kyle Busch, you know.
Yeah. I don't totally disagree with you. I think there's something to be said about, you know, the guys that are at the tail end of their career. And, you know, I think this next gen car brought a little bit more fire to some of these older guys, to try to figure out that, you know, the competitiveness. I still think they have the competitiveness, but I don't disagree that there may be a little bit of that going on. All right. Well, I'm going Red Dog Reddick. I've already talked about it 15 times. Second in the model. He won this race a year ago, which seems like low-hanging fruit. I get it. He won Kansas, too. Low-hanging fruit. But the 45 car's been fast last couple years, mile and a half, so all right. This year on comp tracks, he's fourth in NLD speed and Ryan from iFantasy Race, so essentially NASCAR loop data, fourth across the board. Finished second in his rookie year here. You don't just unload at Texas, a place that has two totally different corners, and finished second, qualified second as well. I think he's got a little bit of, he's got this track figured out a little bit. I think the 45 team and Toyota as a whole, 2311 as well, has great mile and a half speed. That was great timing, Roy. I'm going to ride the Reddick train. He was really fast at Charlotte until he self-spun in that beautiful Carolina blue Jordan car. He's back in a Jordan car this week, going to have a smexy-looking green and white. I don't know anything about shoes or Jordan shoes, but it's a good-looking car, and I think he's going to be fast this weekend. So, Zach, shitbox, go.
I'm going to throw out a Joey Logano top 10 plus 120. He just always seems to be around. It's a top 10 plus money on Joey Logano. I think that's pretty crazy. I know more of an effort will be towards Blaney, but he still should be in the top 10. I also, Ty Gibbs is in the same price range, so either of those two plus money for a top 10, I think is a good deal.
Second NLD speed last year at Texas for Joey Logano.
We're due for an upset in the playoffs.
Would you consider Logano an upset? Yeah, I guess you probably would. I think he probably would.
I'm talking about Gibbs.
He's 30.
Yeah, I don't think. Logano is going to win. Yeah. Top 10.
I mean, I just don't know if this might. One of these tracks is going to. I mean, Talladega's got a shot.
Rebel's got a shot too.
Any damn body, but I like Logano here because I mean I feel like if Blaney is gonna be fast, I'm not saying Logano's probably gonna be fast too, just maybe not quite as fast.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right about that. I think if the 12 is fast,
run,
22
they
is
tend
fast.
To run well at Vegas and here. Ford does.
Yes.
Penske does in general. Like, yes. Those two tracks, for I guess that they're not as aero dependent without the tire wear, so it benefits them. They got fast race cars.
Well, there's one person that I have circled too that I didn't bring up, and I guess he's gonna be my shitbox pick.
Fire away.
And we were talking about underdogs and, you know, people that it's considered an underdog, but I think he could very easily win this race if he gets track position late and. He needs to win this race to advance the next round, and it's Bubba Wallace at 18-1.
I'm on him.
Yeah, I think he could shock it and win this race. I mean, I really do. He was just as fast as Kyle Larson at Kansas. He doesn't hit the fence there. He might have won that race instead of Reddick. I mean, he was faster than Reddick up until that point. I mean, if his car was one piece, he didn't have the tire failure and break the tie rod. I think he probably wins that race, and he advanced, and I think they know that, what is he, negative 19. He needs to win a race here. And I think Reddick could get in on points, and I think 2311 is going to be focused on getting him a win.
Yeah, him and Larson were way faster, too, than
yes.
It seemed like than everybody
and
else.
In some they situations like, he was much faster than Larson and the car would fade. I think he was just overdriving it, but I would not be shocked to see him.
He started 10th and he came through the field. It wasn't any time coming through. So Yeah, I agree. I'm on him.
And he finished, I think he finished third at Charlotte. So
yeah, fourth at Vegas, Kansas, and Charlotte. He finished.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ignore that. I mean, if you want to lock in a top five on him, I think that's a great bet because he's going
to 3-1, baby. Love that.
He's going to need as many points as he can if he wants to just keep advancing that way. But it's going to be a lot tougher because, you know, you can't always bank on people having failures like Logano, you know. He needs to win a race, and I think this is going to be his best chance. I mean, he could win Talladega very easily. I mean, he's a very good plate racer now. I mean, for him to be the last seed, he could very easily advance to the final eight, even the final four. I mean, these tracks line up really well for him, and as well as 2311's running. And, you know, as long as Denny Hamlin's already locked in, he'll let him win. I mean, it's. I would love to see Bubba Wallace first and Denny Hamlin second here because I know what's going to happen. You know, you don't have to worry about Denny Hamlin. You can completely write him off because he's not going to pass him. He wants him in there. True. So I would have a really hard time betting Denny Hamlin, who's going to basically advance on points to the next round.
I love Bubba Wallace. I love top five, 3-1. He is not going to pop off the page in any stat, any model, any nothing. But he's got the three top fives this year on mile and a halves. We know, I've just talked about it. We've been beating it with like a dead horse that Toyota is going to be fast. 2311's had speed and the 45 team. And Bubba Wallace, they've had great cars at mile and a half. Just, is Bubba going to put it in the fence? Like last year at Texas, he's running sixth. He gets loose in turn one, goes all the way up the track, gathers himself up in like 22nd, and then is dunzo the rest of the day. I still don't know what happened to him, but I'm in on Bubba Wallace. So anything else before we go to Grid Rival and wrap this shindig up?
I like a little break, hey.
No, dude. No.
Yeah.
Really?
I do. Sat on the pole last year.
He did out of left field. I remember that.
Finished eighth. Had problems. I don't know. Just watch out.
I think that was the first time that RFK showed life. That was the first sign that going into this year that they were going to be somebody to reckon with. And I don't think a lot of people saw that. I didn't even see it. You know, looking back, it was like, wow, where'd that come from? But they obviously hit on something, you know, and they just grew off of that. I mean, that's why now is a good time to really look and see going into next year, you know, and that's why I keep talking about Ty Gibbs, man. I would love to get all over Ty Gibbs and win a championship next year. You know, just seeing how the momentum he's growing off this year and see who's going to be competitive next year.
Don't hate it. Don't hate that take. Ty Gibbs, let's see, second in NASCAR loop data speed ranking at Bristol. 11th at Richmond, 5th Pocono, 12th in Nashville. Those are probably the best numbers you're going to get. 6th at Kansas earlier this year, 9th at Dover. I like the overall picture that you're painting here, Dave, about looking at some guys at this point. We've talked about guys, these teams bring the best they got to these races, especially a mile and a half like Texas. Kansas, too, a couple weeks ago. They're going to bring their best shit to Homestead. We're going to see what these guys are made out of for the rest of the year and next year. So,
well, I mean, I feel like live is going to be going to give you a lot of options because caution at the wrong time of this race. I mean, the way the stages are set up and how long they can probably go. I mean, what are we talking? If the tires actually hold up and aren't blowing out, they can go, what, 50? 50 laps on a run?
Yeah, 50 to 60 maybe. Yeah.
This tire that they're bringing probably going to be able to go 150, you know? Because, you know,
if they were smart, yeah, they'd do that.
Yeah, I mean it's racing's going to suck, but, you know.
I mean, I was just figuring in like 60 lap somewhere around their runs, and the stages are set up for like 80. So, like, if we don't see a shit show, which we probably will at some point.
But this tire is one of the reasons why the track position.
But if it stays green for the most part, or like if maybe an early caution comes out, something's going to end up coming out where people are going to start pitting, you know, trying to get on a going for it type thing. I don't know. I can just see this becoming some sort of strategy race with the low tire wear. I don't expect a whole lot of tire wear.
Yep. I'm with you. I think we can all plan on that. Guarantee. Bet on it. All right. Let's go to Grid Rival. Last week, we went 4 for 5, by the way. We had no explanation. We picked our drivers, and we went 4 for 5.
Where are we at now?
Let's see. We are 71st in the season and 26th in the stage.
That's why we got Zach on.
Yeah, but we need to do that for the rest of the season. We needed to do that for the rest of the season when the playoffs started, and we didn't do it, so we're toast. But
so now we need 5 and 0s.
Yeah. Perfect. So perfection. Let's just fucking flip a coin at this point, or let's just start riling off. So we have 4 people, obviously. And Dave, how we used to do this when there's only 3 of us is we would rotate who goes first, and the third person, if the first 2 were split, the third person, whoever they went with, that's who we would go with. So this is essentially a group entry. We have 4. If it is split 2 to 2, my vote is that we refer back to the Highline model, and that's who we go with.
Yeah, unless that's someone than flipping a coin.
Yeah, unless someone brings up a good point that we can all agree on, that's what we'll do. So
I'm fine with that.
All right, who wants to go first? Because I do not want to go first on this first matchup.
We can play rock, paper, scissors.
No, I'm out. I want to lose. Please lose. I'm going paper. You're going scissors. Okay? Does that sound good?
I'll go first. I'll take Byron.
All right. Willie Byron B versus Truex. Yep. Go ahead.
I'll take Byron. Just higher in the model. He has probably the best pit crew. He'll probably qualify better, so have a better pit stall. That's what I'll go with.
Some bad luck for Truex along the way. Terrible showing at Darlington. Never drove through the field, and then wrecked early at Kansas too. So things have not been going Truex's way. I'm down for Byron. Down for Byron. Dave?
I'm going Truex just for the simple fact that he doesn't want his back against the wall again. And I don't think he's gonna be able to win this race, but I think he'll be top 5, top 3, and you know, he's got a lot of personal stuff going on this week. And I think, you know, racing kind of with a heavy heart, and I think could be a top 3 day for him.
Might be on to something, Dave. I hate to say it. It hits close to home, that but the tragedy bet.
Whitney's pick.
What? No, dude. You can't. Whitney can't fucking have everybody in the field, dude. She's got Larson, and she's got...
Truex.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry, Whitney. I'm sorry. My apologies. I apologize. You're right. That's true. So you're going Truex.
Truex.
Roars? Truex? Whitney?
I go Byron.
Okay. Well, we're on Byron then. Yeah, you're on Byron outright.
I think Byron I trust a little more, not to make this mint. Just, I don't know. Truex has just had this damn absolute shit luck
that I mean, carries on. The last couple weeks, not
the
whole season.
Regular season.
Yeah.
I mean, not they throughout won 3 this races. Year. But in
but that's
general,
bad luck.
I agree,
luck.
Dave. For what it's worth, I agree. But
I mean, you're talking about a guy that was a 4-tire pit stop away, and they put the fucking wrong tires on each side, put the lefts on the right and the rights on the fucking left, and loses the championship that he had locked up. I mean, he just has, like Richmond. They don't even tell him you got fucking
James Small. No, he's added to the cancel list.
I mean, it's just something. I mean, when we're talking about a matchup, I don't mind taking Truex at 9-1, you know, versus up front what we're looking at. I mean, he's had a fast ass race car all year. But like in a matchup right here, I think I'd rather go Byron.
All right, 3-1, we're going Byron, and the next matchup is Kyle Busch versus Chris Buescher, and I do have an opinion on this one. I'm going Kyle Busch over Buescher. I want nothing to do with Buescher. The 2 matchups that the books are giving us are Busch versus Buescher and Christopher versus Chris, and I am on the Busch and the Christopher train, so I want nothing to do with Buescher. That this is not a 4 Kyle Busch bet. This is an anti. It's not even a bet. This is an anti Chris Buescher this week. And am I going to eat my words and RFK show up? Maybe, but the numbers at Mile and a Half this year, anti-Chris Buescher, so I'm on the Kyle Busch train. Roars, what you got?
Christopher Bell train? Or is this Kyle Busch?
This is Kyle Busch versus Chris Buescher.
I'll take Busch.
Or just Busch?
Busch.
Busch.
KFB.
Yes, sir. Okay, 2 for Kyle Busch, 0 for Chris Buescher. Zach?
I'm going to take Buescher.
Oh, fuck me. Why is that?
More momentum. I mean, they're kind of pretty close in the model when you look at the metric. So when they're close, I'm kind of looking who has more momentum.
Buescher metric 17.35, Kyle Busch 15.55. That's pretty close. That's pretty
close. Kyle Busch could be the sleeper in this race. If they get him out front, make the right call like they did last year with Reddick. Fast-ass race car.
All right, 2 for Kyle Busch, 1 for Chris Buescher. Dave, you going to tie it up?
Chris Buescher.
Oh, shit. Yep. See, go ahead.
I just momentum. You know, that team's on a high ride, and Kyle Busch is on the down low, you know? Like, Kyle Busch came out hot this year and then just totally stumbled on himself. So I don't think they have it right now.
Well, we did technically agree that we were going to fall back on the model, which does have Kyle Busch, but the two dudes of this pod, Rory and I are just the marketers. The two dudes are on Buescher and they're riding the momentum. So Roars, I'm going to leave it up to you. We're going to ride with Dave and Zach, or we're going to fall back on the model. Whatever you want to do.
Kyle fucking Busch.
All right. That's it. Sorry, guys. I gave it a third chance. I gave it a fifth chance, actually, to go for Buescher, but the land coin entry is in on Kyle Busch. So
I mean, Buescher doesn't have that name.
We are now anti-Dave Green on the first two plays. So Dave's going to go 5-0, and Landcoin's going to go 0-5. That's how this is going to go. All right, Dave, you're going to go first on this next one. Bubba Wallace and Brad Keselowski. We've talked good about both of them tonight.
I think you know where I'm going with this one, and I'm going to go with Bubba Wallace. I think he's solid in the top 5 all day, top 3 maybe, and I think he could potentially win this race. So, yeah, Bubba Wallace, lock it up.
Zach?
I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. I think Bubba will probably have just as fast of a car, but they'll probably mess it up on pit road or something.
Not going to argue that.
Roars? That's where I'm going with this on just matchup strictly. I love Bubba's 25-1, like that I have. But in a matchup, I'm going to go with the veteran. I think he'll finish top 10, and even if he doesn't have a better car, I don't know. I'm just taking a chance. What do you think grid rival percentage is going to be on this?
Oh, good question. Bubba's probably going to be the public favorite, but Brad's track history here and the RFK momentum.
I mean, we got to do probably, something.
Probably opposite. Bubba. Probably Bubba. All right, well, I can't shy away from Bubba. I like Bubba this week, so I'm on Bubba.
I like Bubba, too.
But that's 2-2. You know, you took Brad.
I do like Bubba.
Roy likes them all, man.
You just hit Zach. No, hold on, Roy. You just hit the nail on the head of this fucking podcast. Roy likes everybody. Everybody.
Well, I mean, no.
No, Denny was speaking to Rory last week when he said,
fuck him.
He said, I beat all your favorite drivers. And they
You're
asked
damn
which
fucking
one.
Right, Zach.
And he said, all of them. He was speaking to Rory, man.
Oh, that's good shit. I love it. I've been the ass end of shit talk this week. So, Rory, you can have some of it. All right.
That was probably the most miserable money I've ever won in my life,
dude. How is that even possible?
I hate that motherfucker.
The most miserable money I've ever won. I'm ready to tweet that.
I hate that fucking piece of shit.
Well, he's coming up in a matchup later, so we'll let you voice your opinion. All right, well, it's 2-2 because Roy went Brad. And Brad is higher in the model, so we're going to go with Brad on this entry against my judgment. But we got to give Dave and Zach a bone here because I'm not about to live with myself going 0-5 and them two go 5-0. So we're going Brad K in this one. Next matchup is a feisty one because I know that a couple of you fuckers are going to be on the opposite side of me. So it's Ryan Blaney versus Tyler Reddick. And Roars, we're going to start with you here.
Give me some Blaney.
Some Blaney.
I think Reddick could be the
odds are not in my favor.
I think he started off with Reddick today, and we swayed him. We swayed him.
Dude.
No, I wasn't really. I'm not really that high on Reddick coming.
No, I was.
I am.
I mean, I still am, but my Blaney stock is quickly rising.
I don't know. I think he is going to be good. But I think if you want to go with the unpopular side here, I'd say Blaney.
That's for sure.
Trying to make up points. Like
I concur.
I'm not saying that I'm – I don't know. I never get fucking Tyler Reddick right. It never matters. Like, I just don't fool with him.
Zach?
Reddick.
Okay.
If you're if you want to do an ownership play, Blaney should be a lot less, and they're really close. So, like, if you want to play it like that, yeah. But if you ask me who I think is going to finish higher, it's Reddick.
Dave?
I guarantee.
Dave's on Blaney, right?
Yeah, I think Ryan Blaney wins the race, let alone the matchup.
Fuck. All right, we got to go Blaney. We got to go for the public play, the anti-public, fade the public play. The models got them close, though, Zach.
Yeah, they're super close.
Really close. Okay. I'm sorry, Zach, but I think we got to go Blaney here.
Do what you got to do.
I'm on the Reddick train, but I think we got to go Blaney here.
In my own personal one, I'm picking Blaney because I am so far back that I need to try to catch up. So.
That's fair. Yeah, we're in the same boat. So, okay. All right, Blaney it is. And fifth and final matchup is Dennis Hamlin and Kyle motherfucking Rory Larson. Dave? Larson. Rory? Is your name Dave?
You've been really good,
I feel like, the last few months about not cutting people off. I applaud you.
I don't even have to fucking explain this. You're carrying it on. I was just giving my pick. Fuck Denny Hamlin.
Fair. Dave?
Kyle Larson. I hate the 5-1, but I think he wins this matchup. Hamlin has been really fast lately, and I've made a lot of money off of him.
Have you not been paying attention to what the fuck Kyle Larson's been lately?
Yeah, well, best average finish.
I'm just saying I've won a lot of money on Denny Hamlin in the last 3 weeks, whether the Xfinity race or the Cup race. He should have won last week if that caution doesn't come out late. I mean, or 2 weeks ago. I mean, he very easily could have won the last two races, but Larson's been right there with him, and I just think Larson.
Yeah. Okay. Zach? Two for Larson.
Ah, it's so close. Let's go with Larson, just because Denny won last week, so probably he'll be a little higher.
Yeah, win hangover. What Dave said, could have won 2 weeks in a row. He's really fast at Kansas.
I think Larson's like, fuck this. I'm just going to go punch my ticket and get the fuck on to the next round.
Well, if he does win this week, watch the fuck out for the championship, because I think
Homestead.
Well, Homestead and Vegas, right? I think whoever wins this race is. I think Dave, you said it. You win this race, you put the car in the corner, and you tweak it for the next till we go to Vegas or Homestead, one of the two.
More so Vegas with this. I mean,
true.
Its own beast.
Which I will not be in attendance for this year. I'm fucking pissed.
Anyway.
I know I do.
Just like you cost us the fucking Jags last week.
Yeah, because I wasn't in attendance. Well, you know who's going to be in fucking attendance this week? Me. All right? We're going to be at the game. We're going to win. I don't know if we're going to cover, but we're going to win.
You better.
We will, buddy.
Give them a pep talk.
with my Jack and Ginger. Hey, boys. I'm back.
Tell them.
By the way, the Miami Dolphins are going to have an undefeated season this year.
Whoa.
Dolphins.
Whoa.
I got that in the offseason at 100-1.
Whoa.
Dolphins are good.
And I got two of the MVP.
Well, okay. I mean, I think that's a little more realistic.
Undefeated. And I have them winning all their division games, so I'm one out of five. I got five to go.
Wow. Fuck. I bet on the Jags at a very big number to go 17-0, and we are a loser.
I'm still alive.
Still alive. All right, boys. Well, I got to edit, do some shit, get to bed. Hey, you ain't working nights, all right? You can listen to this in the morning. You ain't got to listen. It's not like you got to listen the next 30 minutes, boy.
Oh, that's what I got to sleep listening to. Okay. Play it back.
It'll be, give me 30 minutes. Give me 30 minutes. Dave.
This was a good one.
I agree. I thought this was a good one. We mixed in some good shit at the beginning. We got some plays. I think we had some really good explanations. We got two guys with Zach and Dave that are really good at this.
Tires? What do you think about the tires this week?
Shut the fuck up, dude. I am done talking about those fucking things. I'm done. I'm out.
I think they're going to be rock hard.
They might as well put the spacer on.
Oh yeah, I meant to say that. Dave said this plate week. Track. It's spacers. Dave, Rory's been calling it plate tracks until like a few weeks ago. We finally got him to say spacers, and he goes, "It's spacers."
Yeah, my final note on this is probably, make sure you watch practice. Also, the race, if these tires don't mean anything. I think it was like Gateway maybe 2 years ago where you would just have dudes staying out for like 120 laps on their tires. You would have a lot of weird different leaders. If we have a race like that, you're going to have to stay on top of it. Live betting, pen and paper kind of race, so you know what's going on.
Track position, track position, track position. So it just, if you want to wait till after time trials, whoever's in that top five is basically going to be your winner. This tire is going to really, people aren't going to pit. They're just going to, it's going to be fuel. And, there's going to be no four tire pit stop with 10 to go. It's going to be, somebody might actually come in, just get right sides on that last one to come out first. It's
or nothing, right?
It's going to be ugly in regard of, dirty air. Whoever gets the front sucks, but unfortunately, I think that's what we're about to get into.
I agree, but we've got some of the best live betting dudes on the planet here, so that's for sure.
We put a few out.
Rory just says, see, click, bet. That's what Rory does, but he fucking wins. How you found a Denny 16-1 number last week is blasphemous.
Well, the motherfuckers were – all right, so I take it 12. I'm like, this is stupid as shit, but okay. So I'm still looking, and the next thing you know, I come back over because I'm looking at everywhere else, and I'm like, what am I, like, missing something here? I'm like, everybody else is way lower. So then I come back over, and these motherfuckers then put him at 16. I'm like, I'm not passing that up. Hit it again. Like,
most miserable money you've ever won, huh?
It is.
All right, boys. That's it for me. I'm out. Dave, I really appreciate you joining, man. This was fun. It was nice talking with you again.
It was nice seeing you guys. I hope everything's good, and I'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Zach, as always, buddy. See you guys.
Later, man. Thanks.
Later. Beard on.
Bye, guys.